We often hear reports of fun adventures from our traveling listeners who email us at radio@ricksteves.com telling us highlights from their latest travels. We thought we'd contact a few of them right now to let them share their experiences with all of us at 877-333-7425. Jerry's on the line in Monsey, New York. Jerry, tell us about an experience you've had in France.
Well, we had a very interesting experience. We had been to France about 4 or 5 times before, but this trip was a little unusual. Air France had lost our luggage 2 times before, so after many phone calls and writings, they decided to give my wife and I a round trip to Europe.
So wait a minute. They lost your luggage, and you got your luggage back, and they still gave you 2 round-trip tickets?
Yeah, we got it back about 2 or 3 days later, and then after, which is very frustrating, they gave us a round-trip to Europe.
You got to love those French.
Well, that was very nice of them, but it was also not very nice losing my luggage.
No. Okay. So you finally got to France. Where did you fly into, and what did you do?
We flew to Bordeaux, France, and picked up a nice Nissan, and we drove up to Pouliac through the wine country. From there, we went over to the caves of Lascaux, and then to Albi, where Toulouse-Lautrec lived, and over to the fortress of Carcassonne, down along the coast to Marseille and Nîmes. We only had reservations at the beginning and the end of the trip, the two of us.
Before we go further, Jerry, how did you like the caves at Lascaux?
The caves at Lascaux, the original cave has been closed off because people were destroying it with the breathing, etc. So they had made a replica cave, which was just like the original caves. It was marvelous. The area around there is gorgeous. You'll see it in posters, etc. It's real French countryside, and it's away from the mainstream. It's not like Paris or the other places. You can see the real French people.
Now, I understand that you go through the cave with a guide and a group. Did the guide help bring the meaning of the paintings in the cave to life?
Yes, the guide was very helpful. In fact, I think there's a movie out now which discusses the caves in France.
That's right. So if you can actually see that, you can't see the real cave, but you can see a perfect replica, and you hardly know the difference when you go through there as a visitor.
Absolutely. It's amazing that people thousands of years ago were able to do this artwork in the caves.
It's like
lying on their backs with just some candlelight.
What is it, 20 or 30,000 years ago? 5 times as old as the pyramids. It's just incredible. Hey, you also went to Carcassonne, Europe's greatest medieval walled fortress city.
Absolutely. That was gorgeous. You get into the walls and parked our car outside. We went into the little narrow streets through the town, and it was absolutely beautiful, and just by ourselves without being in a tour group.
Carcassonne is kind of a fairy tale town, but you went to Marseille, which is just
Marseille,
the opposite.
That's a
gritty port town, like the second biggest powerhouse city in France. Did you find Marseille was sort of brutal and exhausting, or did you find any charm in it?
No, it was charming because we went right down to the waterfront, and we spoke and saw the fishermen bringing in the catch of the day.
Wow, good
for
you.
So that was very interesting. I didn't go through the seedy areas, but the waterfront area is beautiful.
In your day-to-day travels in France, Jerry, what would you do for a typical lunch and so on?
When I say the lunch, we would go into a local food market and pick up something we like cheese and wine, etc., go out to our car. It was a nice sunny day. Spread it out, have a little picnic on the hood of the car, have our wine, and it was marvelous.
Sounds great. Jerry, you're an inspiration. Thanks for reporting and continued happy travels.
Thank you very much. That's pretty good for 2 old senior citizens.
I think that's an inspiration for 2 old senior citizens. I think we'll all be there remembering.
1,600 miles just by ourselves.
How many miles?
1,600 miles.
My goodness. Well, bon voyage on your next adventure, too.
Merci beaucoup.
Okay, bye now.
And bon chance. Au revoir.
And Shirley's on the phone in Vashon Island, Washington. Shirley, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick.
Do you have a travel story to share with us?
The fall of 2009, we're walking across England, a girlfriend and I.
Yeah.
I had just retired from 41 years of high school teaching, and I needed somewhere to go when everybody else was headed back to school.
So you're a kid in your 60s.
Yeah, I'm 66 in April.
And you walked from coast to coast across England with your girlfriend.
We did, and we got lost every day but one.
Wow. Now, how many miles and how many days, roughly?
Well, we had plenty of days. People chuckled at how long we'd given ourselves. But given that we got lost every day and added miles and miles to our itinerary, we needed those days. We had planned on 21 days, and we actually, to our own surprise, arrived a day early at our first farm. So we packed an extra day in and walked 22 days. Wow. Two of them we'd scheduled as rest days, and of course we walked both of them. We kind of hatched the idea just after a hike up in the Olympics one summer. We asked our husbands if they'd like to join us. One said, just shoot me, and the other said, I'd rather have root canal. So the two of us just took off.
I think that was your opening. Let's go. All right. Now, but trying to get a sense of this, is it 100 miles or roughly?
Oh, it's 200 plus.
200 miles. And the way you did it was probably 300 miles.
Well, maybe not that far, but
okay, but you're walking around in a few circles.
Yeah, now, there you go.
So did you, tell me just this, you were staying in B&Bs or hostels?
Well,
or
we had, my friend Cheryl, my walking partner, had read Wainwright's Coast to Coast Walk, his little book that he wrote in 1971.
So this is in the north of England?
It's in the north of England, and he just
Because Wainwright
loved,
is all those peaks in the Lake District, in the Cumbrian
exactly.
Lake District.
Exactly. His aim in this book was not to set out a guidebook for a particular route, but to inspire people to create their own personal ventures as they walk from coast to coast. And he suggested, we followed it as closely as possible, but it's more of an ode to Northern England than it is, you know, a practical mm-hmm. guide.
Sure.
And we started on the Irish Sea coast at St. Bees.
Mm-hmm.
And walk through farmland and then through the lake country and through more fabulous farmland into the Yorkshire Dales and then more farmland. I think that was the Vale of Mowbray. And then we got into the fabulous, beautiful, vast, empty moors. I think that was my favorite part. And then have dropped down to the North Sea and finished our walk at Robin Hood Bay.
Now, you were going through James Herriot country there for a while, weren't you?
We were. We stayed in Reith one night.
Oh, yeah.
And we had opted to stay on farms mainly. We stayed in a couple of private homes and some B&Bs and a couple of inns. It was a mix. It was just quite the adventure.
Let me get this straight. You and your girlfriend have rucksacks on your back?
Well, yes. We took a day pack every day, and Lindsay and Simon, who run a little business called Pack Horse.
That's what I was getting at. So this is sort of a little bit of a tour. They would go ahead
and... They collected a small carry-on bag for us and moved it to the next spot.
Now that's nice. So they took your gear ahead and...
They not only took the gear ahead, they planned it out for us so that we really had the luxury of getting up, having a wonderful farm breakfast, squirreling away enough in our pack for lunch.
And then just lollygagging all day through the countryside. Whoa.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the North York Moors or the majesty of the moorland, because that is more stark than James Herriot country, I believe.
Oh, definitely. We spent 3 days on the high moors, the high Danby moors, I think they're called. Mm. It was the openness mm-hmm. of the moors that so impressed me. And we had quite a day going over Honister Pass, which was the first real day in the lake country out of Ennerdale.
Yeah.
We'd walked along that long Ennerdale Lake.
And you got those glacial boulders strewn
around. Oh, and they're fabulous. And, you know, no bridges. And you're soaking. Your feet are soaking wet. And you don't even notice. Then we crossed at the far end of the lake and went through the forest. And the heavens opened up. I couldn't get my rain gear on time. Mm. My pants were soaked the entire day. The jacket that I'd worn for years in the Northwest, and it shed the rain, was soaked through. We just beavered on. We stayed at that little black sail, that little isolated youth hostel.
You beavered on. I love that. That's exactly what
it was so wonderful. And we were there with other people from, you know, various parts of the world. And it was just the camaraderie and the warmth of spirit and of tea. There were two quite elderly ladies with tiny boots and gray hair who'd gone up for the day to hike one of the crags. And, of course, they decided they couldn't do it, but they had these big smiles. So six of us banded together, a woman from Wales and a Brit, and we stuck together as we went over the pass because it was, I mean, it could blow you down. It was really exciting. Well, we finally, Cheryl and I, got to our farm, which was in Stonewaite, quite a ways down the other side. It was dark by the time we got there, and the door opened, and this tiny woman.
Are these old houses that are kind of for short people almost?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're
like
Lilliputian houses because, I don't know, they're from 600 years ago or something, and they just built them really short so they could heat them easily, and I guess the people were just short.
Well, she opened the door. I'll never forget it. Here was this little lady, and she said, I, then you'll be taking your wet togs off here. And she held her arms out, and I piled my clothes. I peeled layer after layer until eventually there I was standing in my bright orange underpants. And she just waited and said, and now you'll be going up to the shower and off to dinner then. And I thought, what will happen to these wet clothes? Well, in the morning they were dry. She had hung them by her Rayburn. And at breakfast, you know, I had a wonderful breakfast, enough to save for lunch and dry clothes.
You sound like you had the trip of a lifetime with your best
friend.
We
had a trip of a lifetime, and I came home with renewed optimism that the world is a good place and that we're all connected and that we're part of something big. I just hope to travel as far and as long as I can on these old knees.
Beautiful. You are an inspiration, and share that with your neighbors. Thank you so much
for
calling. I will.
Thank you, Rick. Carry on.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
We're checking in with listener travel reports, where fun happens at any age, at 877-333-7425. Or send us an email about your travels to radio@ricksteves.com. Cynthia's on the phone in Walker, Louisiana. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Doing great. Got some travel dreams percolating?
Yes. My sister and I are planning on going to Europe, or we're thinking Ireland. We're thinking all kind of things. We've never been anywhere outside the United States. And this is going to be, I'm retiring, and so this is going to be our first time.
Wow,
and
you are lucky. You get to go to Europe for your first time.
And that's it. We don't even know where to start. We don't. That's kind of what I was hoping you could give me, a good place to go for the first time.
What's your heritage?
Well, actually French, but we don't speak it.
Well, that doesn't matter too much. I mean, you probably want to work France into your itinerary. And what do you dream about from a travel point of view? If you think about Europe, what's most appealing?
I guess the first thing that always comes to mind is Italy.
Yeah. And are you flexible to travel off-season rather than in the summer?
Yes, we are.
So that would be very important, because it's hot and it's crowded in the summer. And you'll save a lot of money and you'll just enjoy it. And there's just less intensity off-season. I would bundle up and go, you know, as much off-season as you could. Paris is great all year long. You could go into Paris, and then you could fly home from Rome, and, you know, you could just settle into Paris for a few days and then take the train down to the Italian Riviera, and you could enjoy Florence and see all the famous art. Then you could tour the hill towns around Tuscany and Umbria, and then finish with 4 days in Rome and see all the great sights there and fly home from that. That would be a great 2 or 3 week trip.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
One thing you got to remember is you're going to have a good time and you're going to find a way to go back. So don't try to see everything. Assume you will return. If you just wanted to go to Ireland, you could spend 2 weeks in Ireland having a wonderful time with your travel partner. And the next time you could go to Britain. And then the next time you could do Spain and Portugal. You know, you'll find that if you have a good trip, you'll realize what a great way it is to spend your extra time and money. And you'll find another excuse to get over there. But if you try to do everything in a frantic flurry, then you'll have to do everything again in a frantic flurry, and it's just a very inefficient way to go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Hey, well, let us know how it goes, okay, Cynthia?
Okay, I sure will. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
And Betty's on the line in Gainesville, Florida. Hi, Betty.
Hi, how are you, Rick?
Great, thanks for your call. Do you have some travel adventures or some tips you can share?
Well, we did. It was quite a few years ago. It was back in 1985, and we were 55, and my son was already over there. He traveled a lot by bike. And so he came home, and he says, Mom and Dad, will you go back with me? We'll do hostels. So we did, and he did hostels. And he introduced us. So the next year, we decided we're going to do this on our own. We got some backpacks. Of course, everybody thinks we're nuts. You know, they don't travel that way at our age, not nowadays anyhow. And so we put our backpacks on, and we just had a wonderful time. We did the train. We did the Eurail Pass. So, and that was wonderful because you can hop off and on the trains. We did the Rhine on the boat. We got to Vienna, and we couldn't get in the hostel. And so then we went into Vienna, and the rooms were like $200. So I said to my husband, I always had a second plan. I said, we're going to take that train, and we're going to go to Berlin. So we did. We got on the train, and we got the compartment where we laid on each bench, and we had a wonderful time. So I got to Berlin, and it was shortly after the wall came down, so it wasn't very pretty. So I said to Jim, oh, let's take the train to Frankfurt overnight. So we did that, and then we rode the boat down the Rhine, which was beautiful, and we stayed in so many beautiful hostels. We stayed in the one that was where the Rhine and the Moselle meet, that castle up on the hill. I can't even remember.
Erin Brightson.
Yes.
That's an amazing place. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's several castles overlooking the Rhine that you can actually sleep in. Youth hosteling, and then it's going to cost you, you know, $20 a night, and you're going to have your members' kitchen where you can cook for the price of groceries.
We went to the Hallstatt, was just beautiful. I loved Hallstatt.
Hallstatt is near south of Salzburg in Austria.
Yes, and we took the boat over there, and that was a beautiful
place.
That
was in the hostel in Hallstatt.
Uh-huh.
Was it the one at the end of the lake where it's kind of flat, or was the one with the waterfall going right through it?
No, it was the one at the end of the lake.
Yeah, that's more the more practical one and very friendly. And then you walk into town from there.
Yeah, and then we were looking for our family roots, and we went to Baden and Baden first. And we went to the baths and went to walk upstairs, and one of them, the lady says, if you don't want to take your clothes off, don't come up here.
You walked upstairs in the baths at Baden Baden. That's a naked city.
Yeah. But, oh, my goodness, we had such a good time. And I tell everybody about that, how you travel with the hostels, but, you know, a lot of people just look at you like, that's no way I'm going. But no. I tell you, it was the best trip we ever had.
Betty, that is an inspiration. And one of the great things about hostels is you sit in the family room there and you meet people young and old from all over the world.
Yes.
And, you know, you can do that right now. If you were in your 60s when you did this?
We were 55, 56.
They've taken the word youth out of the system now. It's just called hosteling instead of youth hosteling. And if you're over 55, you actually get a discount on the membership card. And as you know, a lot of the hostels are in very historic buildings, even castles with
million-dollar
views.
Oh, my goodness, we had a whole motel by ourselves once. We've stayed at a lot of castles. But we went also in Switzerland to the fall. It's like Niagara Falls.
That's the Rhine Falls. And
at that hostel. You could go.
Oh, that's a great hostel. It's called in Stein am Rhine, I think is the town.
Yes,
Stein
and you could go at night and walk through the falls.
Just so our listeners know, that's right where France and Germany and Switzerland all come together and where the Rhine tumbles out of Lake Constance. And from that point onward, the Rhine becomes navigable. But that's the big Niagara Falls of that part of Europe. And that's called Rhine Falls. And the little town, Stein am Rhine, it's three words, Stein am Rhine. It's got a great hostel, and it is one of the most charming little towns. All right. Well, Betty, thank you so much for sharing, and you got me thinking about we can be hosteling well into our retirement years, I think, and still have a great
time. Oh, you
sure
can. I hope people, you know, realize that. It's just a wonderful way to go.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Rick. You're
bye-bye.
Really good.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't need your rocking chair. Geritol or your Medicare. Well, I still got neon in my veins. This gray hair don't mean a thing. I do my rocking on the stage. You can't put this possum in a cage. My body's old, but it ain't impaired. Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick. Thanks for web help to Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern Graham, and to WBUR Boston for their production help today. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You can listen again to this week's show, search our radio archives by air date or by topics, and find out when different radio stations web stream Travel with Rick Steves. It's all in the radio section of ricksteves.com. And we'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.